ESPN's Turon Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of week again. We got TD on the line with Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Big Muscle, Small Big Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. And PK, you got a question for TD right out of the gates.
Morning, TD.
You'd unmute yourself.
Yeah, we've been.
Good morning.
What's up, TD?
We've been talking for a while about Travis Hunter.
I'm
of the opinion he's a corner first, but you see him more as a playmaker and think, particularly for the Titans, that he can be an offensive force right out of the gate. Tell us about how you view him and about how much you've heard of him maybe in that role from scouts.
Yeah, well, you're 100% right. I do view him as just a playmaker, and that's why he's not a CB, a WR. To me, he's a PM. That's what I call him. And he's someone that I would just have a package of plays for, and you have to see him first, second, and third down. And you know what? When my defense does the job, you're going to have to see him on fourth down because he would return every single kick, punt, whatever happens, he would be there to catch the ball. That's the way I would use him. But you are right. There is a growing sentiment that definitely believes he has talent at corner. Here's the problem, though. He didn't really get too much time to hone in on his man coverage skills, obviously because he's practicing limited, and even when he does practice, you know, he does a lot of offense, so it's tough. But there are a lot of people who feel that he could be a solid corner. There's some games where you watch and you're like, I don't know, though, specifically the Arizona one.
That's what I talked to Samari Roll this week. About something else, but we wound up talking about Hunter, and he said he thinks it can be a great man corner. He just needs to focus exclusively on corner and really work on man. So he's saying the other thing. I would give him hardly any receiver, maybe some gadget plays and stuff. Let him work exclusively for a while at the beginning on the corner stuff so he could perfect that and he'd be really good at it.
Yeah, if you're going to have him play both sides of the ball, you definitely want to just have a package. And you look, his coach, right? I mean, you remember 95, right? I mean, this dude, Deion Sanders, was lining up on the outside and running go routes. Sometimes it was decoys. Other times he was making the catch. So it can be done from that perspective. Me personally, I just love the playmaking that he brings. And if I'm the Titans looking at it, I wouldn't take advantage of the playmaking. You got, once Snead is healthy, you got him. Jarvis Brownlee Jr., I think, is, you know, going to blossom into a really good player. Cheeto is there. You know, Daryl Baker Jr. You have, you know, four pretty solid corners. I wouldn't put him there.
We've been talking some this week about the idea that if the Titans couldn't get out of one and don't like the quarterbacks, the idea of them taking, it seems people are more into Abdul Carter, maybe because of the Titans' needs, than Hunter. Well, what would you think about a scenario where a quarterback-starved team goes with what the consensus seems to be out there? Maybe their scouting agrees with the idea these quarterbacks aren't worth one, and they pass on the quarterbacks and they take the edge rusher at number one. It's kind of an unprecedented thing.
Yeah, it's really crazy that you have a team that's starving for a quarterback and – so many people are suggesting not take it. And I said this on the Power Hour yesterday. Why is it okay for the Giants to trade up to one and take Shador or take a quarterback? And it's okay for the Browns to take a quarterback, but it's not for the Titans. I look at the Browns, obviously their roster is in better shape than the Titans, but the Giants and Titans are on a similar level of terrible. You know what I mean? So it would be a different thing, but hey, I mean, you got Jeffrey Simmons banging the table yesterday for Abdul Carter. You look at the Eagles and what they were able to do. Now, obviously, you're not going to replicate that in one draft because that's a series of drafts and signings that Howie Roseman made. So it's not going to be the same, but you look at that, and if you're in the AFC, your goal, like, what you got to do is gear up to beat the Chiefs. They've been to six straight AFC championship games. You got to gear up to beat them, and what has been proven by the Buccaneers as well as the Eagles is the way you beat them. And the Titans, to an extent, we know they've played them well too. You have to find a way to disrupt and irritate and impact Patrick Mahomes. That's your only way. So Abdul Carter, I mean, you go back and watch the Notre Dame game. This dude with one arm, he dominated, you know. So definitely a top-level prospect. Not to mention, you know, he's a Philly guy, so he's going to get extra points with me.
That's right. Well, yeah, and my answer to the quarterback thing that you brought up there, TD, is like, the answer just has to be, if you believe they're that good, then you absolutely take him. But you don't just because you're quarterback needy, right? I mean, that's – and so what happens in this league, a lot of teams do, they just pick the quarterback high because they're quarterback needy. Sometimes they get in trouble. But, hey, look, man, I said this week, like, Titans could also decide, nope, we're out on these guys. In a few years from now, we're sitting there like, oh, my God, Cam Ward's a top five QB in this league, and what have you done? I mean, there's the risk either way. But let me frame it to you this way, TD. So let's say it gets to that scenario, whatever, they trade, like the Giants desperate for one of those guys, Titans get down to three, and they have the choice between Carter and Hunter. What's your choice?
Oh, it's easy for me. It's Carter.
It's Carter.
That is a very easy choice for me, definitely.
Interesting.
What? How deep do you think they go at edge? And what do you think about the future of Harold Landry? I was talking earlier. I think there's a chance that I don't know about done all the way done, but I think there's a chance that maybe he's best slotted as the third guy, not the first or second guy anymore. Seems like his burst is gone, and he's pretty far removed from that ACL now.
That's a great point. The burst, you know, the fastball that used to be his trademark, you don't really see it as much anymore. And, I mean, maybe he could be better suited in a situation where, hey, look, man, it's third down. We're going to bring you in. Go do what you do. Maybe that's the case. I would look at Arden Key, too. I'm just curious, you know, how his situation is going to work out, whether do they trade him, do they release him. I would monitor that part of it. And regardless of what they do, I think they still need to bring in the edge. You know, if they don't take one, if they don't take Abdul Carter, there's some guys, you know, at the top, you know, at 35, that you could pick. But here's the thing, right? You look at the Eagles, and I hate to keep pointing back to that, but you look at the Eagles, Jalix Hunt, right? He's a guy they drafted like in the fourth round. And you talk about situational pass rusher, that's exactly what he is. Because, you know, it's like 235 pounds. And they just bring him in and they say, man, go get the quarterback. And he was one of the guys that helped harass Patrick Mahomes. So it doesn't have to be first round, second round, if you go situational. But, you know, to your point about Harold Landry, at that amount of money, you know, they could save if they release him. It's going to be one to watch.
Yeah, that money, I know they're not up against it the way they've been some years past, but $17 million for the role that he could conceivably play. I wonder if at the very least they don't approach him about a cut.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely possible. And, I mean, look, what happens if they pony up for, Trey Smith? What happens if they do that? But speaking of Trey Smith, did you guys see the way he and Nolan Smith were colliding?
Oof,
in that
Super Bowl? One collision was brutal.
Yeah, and the thing is, and that's another – I mentioned Nolan Smith because he's not a bigger guy, but that dude just packed so much power behind him. I mean, Trey Smith outweighed him by like 80 pounds. But you saw what happened when the collision was there. It wasn't good, you know, so – I mentioned Trey Smith because obviously the right guard situation, the tackle situation, you know, we'll see what they do there. This is going to be a busy offseason for us, and I'm loving it.
So you mentioned like at 35, you know, they can get some edge. It seems to me like edge is one of the deeper positions. I know a lot of people are overall kind of down on this draft, but if you're knowing what you do about, you know, Let's say we don't know what all they're going to address in the offseason, but right now, if they don't make a big signing like at edge and right tackle, do you think they'd be better off addressing tackle or edge at 35 if they don't do it earlier?
That's a good question. You know, I really like Kyle Kinnard. I like Mike Green. Kyle Kinnard from South Carolina by way of Georgia Tech. Mike Green, Tulane. Those are guys that could be there at 35. It really depends. I think, you know, I've mentioned his name a few times. Carson Vincent out of Alabama A&M, you know, you're looking at a day three option that could, you know, have kind of like that Titus Howard effect, you know, a HBCU guy. You flip him from left to right and he plays. it's deep at tackle, too. It's just at the top of it, like, you don't have your Joe Alt, your J.C. Lathams, you know, your guys that you would pick in the top 10 or top 5. But, you know, you do have a lot of guys. It goes deep. So they can get a guy later. But if you look at your impact pass rushers, and Nick Suss, you know, one of the things I like about being in the room with him is he always points out quirky stuff like that. And you look at the best pass rushers in the league, most of them, minus Max Crosby, were top 20 picks. So, you know, that is something that you have to consider.
They really downplayed what they're going to do in free agency, but you think there'd be at least one big ticket item, be it Trey Smith or Josh Sweat's probably overpriced now based on the Super Bowl performance, and his numbers aren't really great, though he's a steady guy. Nick Bolton's not going to cost a fortune, but he's an expensive inside linebacker. It's got to be at least one big ticket in here, don't you figure?
Yeah, I think so, because, I mean, remember what Callahan said, you know, in his end of the season presser. You know, he said, you know, they have to get a right tackle. They have to address that. But he also said the right side, right guard and right tackle. So, hey, Trey Smith plays right guard, so definitely one that I would put in there in the mix. And you mentioned Josh Sweat, and you're 1,000% right. I think that the Super Bowl overpriced him. And, I mean, he had 2.5 sacks. He was wrecking havoc and everything. But, I mean, if you look, he's been a Harold Landry-level player. So do you go out and you break the bank for kind of what you already have?
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that. Now, that's not to say he doesn't set the edge as well, but, I mean, he's been like that level player. I wouldn't overpay for that.
Does Super Bowl maybe knock Trey Smith a little to your advantage?
It's tough because, look, man, like, all right, forget it. I'll say it. Jalen Carter is what Jeffrey Simmons is supposed to be. Mm. And PK, you know how I feel about Jeff. Like, that's my guy. You know what I mean? But that's what Jeffrey Simmons is supposed to be.
He's dominant.
So for Carter doing what he did against Trey, like, it's going to happen. Sometimes, right, the guy that is getting paid a lot of money is going to do what he has to do. He's a great player, too. So I don't think it damaged his stock or anything like that. You know, I would still pay a big ticket for him because he's consistently, you know, overall body of work has been a better player.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation. Thank you, TD. The Eagles won one for your mom there. So I know.
Yes, sir.
And today is parade day. So, yeah, big stuff.
Yeah.
So.
I Sunday night, I was on, you know, all the websites trying to book a flight. Man, I couldn't find one for under $516. So I'll just have to watch it on the app and you know, live it out that way.
Were you going to get a ticket, too?
Probably safer that way.
Never mind the flight. What was the ticket going to be?
He's talking about the parade.
For the parade.
Yeah,
for the parade. Yeah. And PK, you know how I do, man. I maneuver and finesse. I would have gotten on that bus and been there.
No,
so.
I know. That parade's crazy scene.
It'll be
1 million people in the city, man.
Wow.
Insane.
Something to watch. All right, yeah. TD, thanks a lot, man. We'll talk to you
next week.
Take care,
man. For sure. Appreciate you guys.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation. We'll react to some of that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.